it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With our guy Paul Charchian over at GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us each and every Thursday throughout the football season, and he's brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Charge, the guys are giving me a hard time because after winning our listener guillotine last year, I was chopped in week number one.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No. And he didn't even take any of the, like, really troubled players.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, look, I had Jefferson.
You can't blame Xavier Worthy for this.
No, I had Jefferson. I had Tua. I had Kenneth Walker. Those are the two killers. And then Tyreek Hill as well.
Charge, asking for a friend, what was the appropriate amount to bid on Justin Jefferson in week one of a guillotine league? Because I bid heavy.
I just philosophically, you got $1,000 to last you all year. I do not bid more than about $200 on anybody because there's so much season left and I'm going to need that money later. And so that's about my cap, and Justin Jefferson would be about at the cap. JJ McCarthy looked pretty good once he settled in on Monday night, set a bunch of first start NFL records, all time records. And, you know, Jefferson still feels very safe. So yeah, I'd have bid right around that $200 cap. So what did you bid?
Oh, I was in the closer to $300 range, which is way more than I normally bid to, but it's Justin Jefferson. I figured that's the kind of player I'll be bidding on at the end of this season if I'm still alive anyway, so I kind of want him on my team now.
Yeah, and so then you get to start him for the next, you know, dozen weeks before you might have another crack at getting him. So I can understand that. It's all about need. If you didn't need him now, then that's a lot of money to spend. But if you had Xavier Worthy, then that's the kind of move you've got to make. And because you can't go to war. Our benches are so thin this time of year with 17 teams left in the league. Everybody's backups suck. So, you lose like Xavier Worthy. You know, you need somebody who can step in.
Charge, that's exactly why I only have one guillotine league left. And I drafted Rashee Rice before the suspension. And so I can't believe I made it out of week one. So I had to spend 290 on A.J. Brown. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, boy. And see, here's the catch with A.J. Brown. Not to totally derail this conversation, but A.J. Brown, that offense is so good for the Eagles, and touchdowns can come through six different guys. Mm-hmm, plays can come through six different guys. Last week on Thursday, he had a one-catch, eight-yard performance.
Right.
And it was
at
the very end of the game. But the thing is, he did that three different times last year where he had one or two catches for 20 or fewer yards. And so he just has some of these games where just the offense doesn't flow through him, and A.J. Brown just gives you a stone-cold dud.
Had to do it, though, I feel like. Now, out of week one, Charge, biggest surprise was who?
Didn't see it coming. We call it a biggest surprise. Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
The second highest scoring fantasy quarterback.
Who could have seen it coming?
Wow. I undrafted in most fantasy leagues. I'm watching the Colts game. Alex and Cody, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Suddenly the Colts have got a lot of receiving weapons. They've got Michael Pittman and Josh Downs and downfield bombs to Alec Pierce, to Donnie Mitchell. And then there's Tyler Warren. In his first ever NFL game, they're using Tyler Warren, tight end, like in his prime Tony Gonzalez. 9 targets, 52 air yards to Tyler Warren. Clearly, Shane Steichen has got total faith in Warren, and he looks like a potential fantasy league winner kind of player. The only catch is, and tell me if you agree, my worry about Indy rolling over Miami is that Miami's totally broken, and this could be like last year, week one, New Orleans put up 47 points on the defense that ended up being the league's worst, Carolina, and maybe everything just came a little too easy for Indy last week.
Church, what about the 49ers? Brock Purdy now missing 2 to 5 weeks. No Kittle. So we know you're still going to play Christian McCaffrey. That's life. Am I crazy for just believing in Kyle Shanahan enough that I think Mac Jones won't be all that bad? Like, if I liked Ricky Pearsall before, I still like playing Ricky Pearsall now. I don't know if I'm alone on that.
I'm still starting Ricky Pearsall, but it ends there. That's it.
Okay.
Juwan Jennings dinged up. He's got a shoulder. He came in with a quad. I just, you know what? Or a calf. I'm out on Jennings. Pearsall's the one guy. Sophomore first rounder. Had a nice game Sunday, 108 yards. Get this on Pearsall. Average pass attempt, 21 yards.
Ooh, I like that.
To Pearsall. Oh, we love that. That is how you get paid in fantasy football, is repeated long pass attempts. That's fantastic. The catch, as you mentioned, though, Mac Jones. So it's the Saints coming up, and so you're going to feel like, hey, it's the Saints. This is going to be a great opportunity. Even Mac Jones can succeed. But let me note this. The Saints just held Kyler Murray to 163 passing yards, and the Cardinals' game plan looked like, for most of this game, it was just all short dump-off stuff from Murray, and then just wait for Spencer Rattler to give away the game. And that's how much of how the Cardinals ended up winning, although it was really close, and Rattler actually wasn't horrible. Mac Jones has never been a fantasy box score producer. Last year, seven games with Jacksonville, which I'm sure you remember every play of, because watching Mac Jones. Jacksonville games are awesome. That's really a good time. 0.8 touchdown passes per game in his seven starts last year.
We're talking to Paul Charchin of GuillotineLeagues.com. All right, how about in New York? You know, the Jets end up losing to Pittsburgh, but Aaron Rodgers looks great, obviously, on the Pittsburgh side, statistically at least. And then Justin Fields, I think he was another one of the big quarterback surprises.
For sure. On this very show last week, I said I am very nervous about Justin Fields in this start because he wasn't going to have Elijah Vera Tucker. You've got T.J. Watt coming after him. You've got a good Pittsburgh defense. They didn't allow any rushing quarterbacks last year. And, like, all these things working against him. And Justin Fields went out and played arguably the best game of his entire career. He is the number two graded Pro Football Focus passer from week one. Passer! For Justin Fields, super weird, right? Only 8 incompletions. He's always been way better in fantasy than reality because of his rushing. But what if he's going to develop into a passer as well? I mean, Fields, right now, he's my number 9 ranked quarterback this week against Buffalo. I had it like 19th last week. So pushed him way up against Buffalo. Probably Buffalo's going to score a bunch of points. Justin Fields is going to have to throw. Maybe we get some good things out of him this week. Maybe matchup proof.
I know we're going to talk about the matchup tonight here in just a second, but last question I think that surprised fantasy owners. Is Zach Charbonnet the starter? Because we didn't draft it that way. It was drafted opposite pretty much in every league I was in. Charbonnet was not the guy who went first. Kenneth Walker was. But if that first game is any indication, Kenneth Walker's on the outs.
No, we got a problem brewing over here because it was a 50-50 timeshare in Seattle. And here's the problem is they're both good. I mean, Kenneth Walker, when he's healthy, is really good. Zach Charbonnet has developed into a really good running back. Get this. They ran the ball 10 times and 11 times. They had almost the same snap count, and it actually leaned a little bit. Charbonnet had a few more snaps. Walker got a couple extra passes that Charbonnet didn't get. So in totality, it all evened out. Now, here's the really big indicator, I think, from a fantasy perspective. Charbonnet, 2 carries from inside the 5-yard line. Walker didn't get any. Those are the easiest touchdowns in football, are those goal line rushes. And if Charbonnet's going to be the guy, that is a real problem for Kenneth Walker. If you drafted Kenneth Walker, you might want to get out right now.
What about locally here? We saw Mahomes have to try to do Herculean things against the Chargers. From a fantasy football perspective, no Worthy now. We know no Rice. A lot of people on the text line are asking whether or not they should start him this week.
Because one way or another, he generally finds his way to solid box scores. And by the way, we get plenty of things wrong on this segment. Like, we just fessed up to my bad Justin Fields take last week. Last week at this time, I was talking about Hollywood Brown, that he was going to be the big beneficiary here in this offense. And I feel pretty good about that. Everybody swooped him up if he was available in leagues at this point. And I believe he remains startable in this offense. It feels like that passing offense now really going through him. Obviously, 16 targets is absurd, and that was not going to happen again.
That seems high.
But even Juju Smith-Schuster, 5 catches on 5 targets for 55 yards. In Guillotine, 5 catches, 55 yards. That's 10 points. And at this stage of the season, that is a win. And so I believe Brown right now, I've got Brown way up at wide receiver 28 this week. So I think there's a, very nice opportunity for him this week, and I'm playing him. Kelsey's the guy that I'm watching closely. Tell, he's got the touchdown here, so people aren't in panic mode, but I didn't care. I didn't love the usage and the low volume from Kelsey. Tell me what you guys think.
You are Kelsey's harshest critic, Charge. I swear, you know,
I was surprised at the lack of critic.
Well, most chopped tight end in guillotine leagues last year.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. You know, we just want to get some consistency going back there. Okay, how about this? Appropriate level of concern for Isaiah Pacheco. I'm getting this question all the time, and
yeah,
to me, it feels pretty high. What do you think?
Well, he's clearly a top back. Our thing is, are they ever willing to run the ball enough? Mm-hmm. And they only got five touches. They only ran the ball 11 times. But you don't get any explosive plays from Pacheco. That just doesn't happen in this run game whatsoever. And we had some numbers earlier in the week we were talking about. I mean, I think there's been in the last 400 carries or 300 carries, there's been two plays over 20 yards in the run game or something.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's awful. That is awful.
Mahomes probably has more 20-plus yard plays than that in the run.
Oh, for sure. Got to, mm-hmm. right? He scrambles for 20. Feels like he scrambles for 20 yards almost every game. I wanted to see, like, the patented Isaiah Pacheco, the hard running, the power stuff where he's just punishing defenders. That's what we're used to seeing. And I didn't quite see the explosiveness I wanted. But, again, only five carries, small sample mm-hmm. size. And why is Kareem Hunt on the field? He brings nothing to the table. What are we doing giving him the same number of carries as Pacheco? I don't understand.
I'm with you.
Last question I have for you, Charge, is something we talked about last week, so I wanted to follow up. We were both big Matthew Golden believers. Tonight, yes, for the Packers, is he back in play? I've got him, but it's like I'm between him or you know, R.J. Harvey or some other guys. What do we do about Matthew Golden?
Yeah, I'm nervous here. So he was the star of preseason and training camp, first-round pick for the Packers, and they got all these injuries, and everybody felt like Golden was going to hit the ground running, like Amika Ibuka did in Tampa, that there would be the opportunity here. But as it turned out in week one, Matthew Golden was only on the field for 23 snaps, and he only ran 18 routes. And granted, it was a blowout win, so they didn't really need to pass a lot in this game, and maybe that's part of it. But this looks like we're right back to the frustrating wide receiver usage the Packers have given us for years, where there's nobody that really steps up. Only one receiver ran half of the team's route, and that's Romeo Doubs, and he had one more route than half. That's it. And that's Doubs. Jaden Reed is playing with a Jones fracture in his foot. His pregame morphine drip must look like Niagara Falls to play through that. And there he is out there running, and he's getting just as much time as Matthew Golden. So this thing is super frustrating, and it might turn out that the right answer among these Packers wide receivers is Tyler Kraft.
Yeah. He had the nice touchdown. That was a great pass.
He did. That was a great pass, wasn't it? Oh, beautiful. Cutting with... He had to hit a window. He threw, Love released that ball and that touchdown to Kraft before Kraft had made his break, and he does his in route, and then Love put it, because Kraft is so tall, he put it up in a way where only Kraft could go get the ball. Oh, that was, Love looked real, I thought Love looked very poised in that game.
Charge, appreciate it as always, man. We'll check with you next Thursday at 12:30. Apologies on that. Thanks, man.
No problem. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.